Should I thank Steve, or do you want to thank Steve?
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
I got to get Stone's tickets.
What an ingrate that Steve is.
You are so welcome to both of you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for thanking me.
Absolutely. You have to get Stone's tickets?
Yeah, I don't
know.
Have
you ever seen them?
No.
No?
I'm really? A poser. I know.
Oh, see the Rolling Stones, Wendy. They're one of the best bands of ever.
Bill, have you ever seen them?
I have not seen them.
Mm.
I have two teenage boys that would like to see them, and I think this is going to be their only chance. Keith Richards has said, we're done.
I said that in 1980.
I know.
Fall
I know,
for
but
it, Wendy.
Guys, they're not getting
holograms.
Any younger. I don't want to see
so good. I've seen them quite a few times. Oh, they're so good.
Look at Mary. It's Mary. Yeah. I've seen
a couple times.
Only once, yeah.
Mary followed them around in a Volkswagen for years.
First time at 16.
City to city.
16 years old.
Oh,
you
wow.
saw him
wow.
at 16?
Yeah, at Soldier Field.
Any stories?
Well, that's the one. I've told the story before, but I got lost at the concert.
Oh.
It was really bad.
Ended up backstage, and then this guy Keith invited me over.
But, you know, that was back when there were no cell phones, and I lost all my friends, and I was by myself, and there were 100,000 people there.
Oh, no.
It was a mess.
So did you just stand next to someone and rock?
I lost my flip-flop, my shoe, we called thongs back then.
Yes, we did.
Yes, we called them thongs. I had lost my shoe because, you know, there's so many people. It was a stampede.
I think the story starts earlier in the day. What was it you were doing that led you to get lost and lose your clothes?
What do you mean? It was an all-day concert. You know, everybody was there. REO was there. I Cheap Trick was there.
With the Rolling Stones?
There were so many. It was one of those all-day concerts. You know, they did those back then.
Like a Loop Day in the Park
or
something? I thought that was at Comiskey.
Oh, I didn't think the Stones did
that's
those.
That's quite a lineup.
Soldier Field. It was awesome. And, you know, I think I was lost for about an hour or so. But I went to a gate. I just stood there. And I don't know why, but my friends went to that same gate. And they saw me. And I was...
How did you get separated?
Because it was first come, first serve. They opened the door, literally, and
festival
everybody
seating.
Just flew in. And they did it. So, you know,
that's when a big group
then.
Of girls holds hands.
Well, yes. We were holding hands. I was holding hands with my boyfriend, who I thought was strong.
He was not a good
guy.
Boyfriend.
No.
And we lost each other. We got trampled.
He found Marianne faithful.
Marianne faithful.
He was trying to lose me.
I mean, think of that. That
it
you know,
was very scary.
That would never. That so ended in what Cincinnati, right? But the open festival seating.
It was open festival. It
wow!
Was just open the door and 100,000 people go flying in, and you know tickets were pretty cheap. I don't remember, but
to see all those bands.
Yeah, I mean, I was 16.
Yeah. Now, you said that was the first time you saw the Rolling Stones for a total of how many, Mary?
I don't even know. Maybe three or four?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Again, Alpine Valley.
It's a whole other side of Mary. She doesn't remember all the shows.
Oh, I went to Alpine Valley. There was...
always was my best friend, Sue. Yeah, we always went
I had a best friend, Sue, that I went with also. Wow. And this is when I took... they used to have a bus that one set of parents would drop you off at Woodfield. We lived in the Riverside Brookfield area.
Sure.
And one set of parents would drop the whole gaggle of girls off at Woodfield. We'd hop on a bus, and that bus would take you to Alpine Valley.
Yeah.
And that's when I might have tried to sneak some alcohol on, and I didn't know how to do it, so I put it in a Mr. Clean bottle.
Uh-huh.
Like, you'd think they would have said, why are you bringing Mr. Clean on? But no one
I'm
questioned
a neat freak.
It.
These concerts have germs everywhere. I have to clean up the germs.
That was the first time there was lemon-flavored vodka, I'll tell you that.
With a little antiseptic aftertaste.
Yes. But, God, in Poplar Creek I went to all the time. I loved that venue.
Yeah.
But Alpine Valley was a bit of a haul.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Sometimes very muddy, so you'd slide down Outlaws and Marshall Tucker Band.
I saw Bob Dylan and Tom Petty in the Heartbreakers
at
Poplar Creek.
In one
popular?
Show.
Yeah.
That's what the kids were calling it back
Who
then.
Who called it that other than Bertrand?
Just make it seem cooler.
That was for my kids.
Yeah.
But that was, the first time I saw them together actually was at the very first Farm Aid.
Oh, really?
The Heartbreakers backed up Bob Dylan, and it went so well that they went on tour then together.
Yeah.
You were at the first Farm Aid?
Oh, my God. I wish I could remember all of it. You know, I mean.
There was just too much going on.
There was too much going on. I was just started working here. And I had a press pass. It was a lousy day. But there just was not security. Everyone was just together. So we're walking around behind the Memorial Stadium, and there's all the trailers where all the musicians were staying, right?
Yeah.
So I'm walking down this row, and Johnny Cash walks out of his trailer.
Oh, nice.
Go to the tent. It's a little, like, pop-up tent, and they're standing next to Lou Reed.
Oh!
You know, it was so wasted on me. I was too young.
So you had an all-access pass. You could have gone anywhere you wanted there.
I guess so. I mean, that was the press area, and so they had a little, it wasn't even an enclosed tent, just a roofed over, you know, one of those tents.
Right.
And the artists would come in and do a news conference. Tom Petty was there.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah, and just all these mega, you know, institutions in music, and every sort of music were there.
Were you WGN's rock reporter, would you say?
I was, I think.
Were
I
you
was
the Kurt Loder of WGN?
I was, yeah. I was an intern. I think I would have been an intern then.
Mary, if it was July 8th, 1978 at Soldier Field,
That's what I just found.
Yeah, it was not REO, it was Journey with the Rolling Stones. Peter Tosh and Southside Johnny and the Asbury
Jukes. That's a pretty good lineup.
Yeah, still really good. And it was, you know, it was all day.
I would lose my own flip-flop on a show like that.
I saw Aria with them some other tour. Yeah, I don't even remember.
I never thought that the Stones would did shows like that.
I didn't
with other bands?
Right. Yes,
yeah.
Especially not Journey. Journey doesn't seem cool enough.
Journey was huge.
Yeah, you're right.
1978. I mean, yeah.
That's a spectacular lineup.
They did a bunch of these Loop Day in the Parks, because I saw like Santana and the Police. That was at Comiskey. There was a whole lineup. It was all day.
Yeah.
But the thing, too, is I think that's when they weren't making as much money off concerts. They were making money maybe off selling albums.
Yeah.
So you could afford to go.
Right.
Right? The Stones are like $200 to go see them now?
Yes, I was looking because I've worked in radio for over 30 years and I haven't had to pay for tickets very frequently, but now all of a sudden you have to. I was looking online, $88 for a ticket, and there's four of us that are going to go, and it's an obscured view. Why in God's name would I do that? Nice. Plus the 400 level?
Yeah.
I would go down for one beer and never come back. It's just too high up there. But I might have to break down. Susie, you have a special place in your heart for the Stones?
Yes, I love the Stones, and I took my cousin to the concert. It was at not at Soldier Field. It was at where did the Bears play? The Bears play at Soldier.
Yeah.
At, so it was there, and it was in back in the 90s. My cousin had never been to a concert. I got a limo, brought binoculars. I bought tickets from a scalper. We go there. We kept going up and up and up and forward and forward. I couldn't believe my seats. There were two rows back from the Stones, from the stage.
Oh, my God.
And it was unbelievable. And the thing that impressed me was, you know, they had, when they came out, they looked at their playlist. So you could see the playlist from the side. So they knew what they were going to sing, you know, what song they were going to perform. They put earplugs in their ears. And Mick Jagger danced unbelievably. He's the thinnest man I've ever seen in my life. Each leg is like the size of my arm. But he was incredible. And I met my future, my husband that I'm married to now for a long time. 16 years, but I knew him for 8 after that. But we met at the Rolling Stone concert. We all got tickets from the same scalpers, which was
so
funny.
You were sitting near him then?
Next to him, he was on a date, and and so we have
he was
the
on
ticket.
A date.
He was on a date, and I was with my cousin, and he bought us Cokes because there was no way you were going to get up and walk 25 row or I don't know how many rows back to go get food or drinks. So we just stayed there, and because we were all the way up front, it was unbelievable. I've never
that's fantastic.
Been a concert.
Susie, that's all well and good, but did you find Mary's flip-flop?
I did.
You didn't?
I need her address so I can send it to her.
She needs it.
But, all right. Thank you
for... the Rolling Stones, Wendy, you should go see them. They're unbelievable.
I gotta go.
I mean, when they're these old men that are, like, incredible, and I totally believe Mick Jagger. I think the other ones were probably Stone freaks and whatever, but he, London School of Economics, he's a brilliant businessman. And I think it's all a gig with him. I don't think he ever did drugs or anything. I really, truly don't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe a little bit, but not like, you know, everyone else in his group.
Right.
The famous one. You know, just never was like that. But, all right, fabulous concert.
Thank you, Susie.
It's either a patio or taking everybody to go see the Rolling Stones.
Stones.
I know, because I may never get to see them again.
It's possible.
Oh, yeah.
Go
see
them. Go with Mary. You lose her halfway through. It's not a bad deal.
It might be at Alpine Valley. I saw him there too. 89.
I'll bring an extra flip flop.
Just in case. Just in case.
Thanks.
All right. Chalube.
This is a guy, Wendy, who says he can't get any satisfaction. It's kind of sad. My heart goes out to him.
He's been satisfied.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
All right, we're talking Rolling Stones. Two shows, Soldier Field, coming in, I think it's June.
Good time to see him.
June or July.
Bring the kids.
Hi, Dave. How's it going?
Good morning. First of all, I love your show.
Thank you, sir. You're very kind.
Here's my Stone story.
Yeah.
My wife and I, she was then my girlfriend, I think it was 1971, we went to see the Rolling Stones at the International Amphitheater,
mm-hmm.
which isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
I paid $15 for the tickets.
$15.
And we were not real close, but we were close enough that it was no problem seeing them. And the cool part was, completely unannounced and unexpected, Chuck Berry played.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
You know what? He was better than they were, I'm sorry to say. But everybody was just crazy. I mean, he just wowed the show. I mean, he was so good. The story was he was passing through Chicago. He was friends with the Stones. He heard that they were appearing, so he stopped by.
They have talked about many times what a huge influence he was on them. So what a cool thing to have him show up. How many songs did he end up doing with them? Do you remember?
He did, I think, about four songs. He did Johnny Be Good, Maybelline, Roll Over Beethoven, and one other. I can't remember what the other one was. But, yeah, he was good. And the problem with the Stones was their sound was terrible. It was mushy. And that was when they had Mick Taylor with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and Jagger was wearing that big red, white, and blue top hat with the scarf around his neck.
Good look.
Yeah, it was a great show, but really because Chuck Berry was there, that really made
it sure.
Good.
That's excellent. What a nice surprise.
Yeah, $15, come on.
Yeah, can't beat that.
So I can do the reverse of that. Chuck Berry, as I remember, was playing at Blues Fest one year. And then up on stage comes Keith Richards and played backup guitar for him.
Crowd goes nuts.
Oh yeah, we waited behind the band shell for the van to take him out. And it was big.
Yeah,
that's pretty kick. 1969, B.B. King opened for the Stones in Champaign, according to 309. That would have been pretty awesome as well.
Wow.
Well, okay. Here's a sideline. The band that officially opened for them was horrible.
Do you remember who they were?
I think the name was The Illusion.
Oh.
Anyway, they got booed off the stage. And
they still
the
open for the Stones, though. Who cares?
Right.
The Illusion is pretty happy about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
All right, Dave.
Okay, guys.
Thank you very much. I got to do it. Is this John?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, John.
Yeah, I saw the Rolling Stones in 1966 at Billy Crown Theater. And, you know, back then, I mean, they didn't have any special lasers, but I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. You heard the band start to play, but you didn't see them. And then all of a sudden, the lights shine, and they rose from the orchestra pit. The orchestra pit rose up. I thought that was the most fantastic.
What a great opening.
Yeah.
All right, well, cool. Thanks. What year was this?
It was either 65 or 66.
They don't do that opening anymore, Wendy, because they don't want to startle them anymore. they want to make sure that nothing startles them.
Well, John, thank you for calling. Bill, I think we're more skittish than they are.
Yeah, maybe. It's possible.
I can't even imagine all the lyrics that they have to that Mick has to remember.
Yeah, yeah,
I know
yeah.
that they use teleprompters
yeah,
now.
They do.
Because, I mean, even though they wrote
all of them.
I know.
What color do I paint it? Black. Oh, yeah, thank you. Line? Yeah, it's black. Have we talked you into it? Are you going to go?
I got to get tickets.
Bring your family.
I'm looking right now. There are some in the $400 range.
Per ticket.
Yeah.
Is that the cheapest?
Well, no, but I mean, if I'm going, I gotta be able.
Mary's friends with them. She can get you cheaper tickets. Come on, Mary.
Bring a flip-flop, get $20 off.
Mick stole it. I know it's still there.
Wendy, what you could do, too, is buy one $400 ticket and then three of the cheap ones. And
no.
Think about that. No?
I cannot do that. I have Catholic guilt. See you, kids. Bye, Jimmy.
But think about it.
Oh, that didn't occur to me, Wendy. I meant give it to one of your boys.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Give it to whichever kid you like most. It's easy. No.
I'll be back in two songs.
Oh, that's true. We could switch it.
Yeah.
You know. I'm not doing
it's
that.
It's easy. All right. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news. And then there's a lot more show.
I got the fever, and the only thing that'll cure it is more cowbell.
Sure, more cowbell. You know, Wendy, as you know, I am a frequent watcher and fan of The View. I like watching The View when I get home. It's not meant for me, but there's something about the show that I enjoy.
Do you DVR it?
Yeah.
You watch it every day?
Well, it's on during our show, and you get mad at me if I watch it during the show. You say you got to focus, but I like to watch The View because I learn a lot. It's like, let's say you were on a team, like a football team, and you got the other team's playbook. That's what it's like. I learn more about women watching The View than just living, than existing.
I don't know how accurate they
are. Oh, it's true. Oh.
So do you sit like on the couch in slippers or how? What's the
house coat?
I want to picture the scene.
Cup of tea?
Is this when you put the rollers in?
I have, yes. I have a bathrobe, a Powerpuff Girls bathrobe, and I'll put that on. I'll put my hair in curlers. I'll make some oolong tea, and I'll watch The View. So yesterday on The View, and this is the reason I love The View, two of the kids on The View went at it. They got nuts.
I don't
they
even
started
know who's
yelling.
On it anymore. Is Joy Behar still
Joy on? Behar, who, in my opinion, Hall of Fame View member.
She's pretty
one
great.
Of the best. An original. One of the original five. So you have Joy Behar and Meghan McCain, and they start arguing during a tribute to the late President Bush.
Oh, boy.
Everyone's saying nice things about the late President Bush, including both of them. All five of them are saying nice things about President Bush. And then Joy Behar starts to compare the way he handled the presidency as opposed to current day. And she's
not
the only one.
Everybody's talking about that.
She's not the only one. And as a side note, you should know this. Meghan McCain, the daughter of the late Senator John McCain, is a Republican, but not a Donald Trump fan whatsoever. And normally takes a lot of healthy shots at President Trump. Normally. Yesterday, she was in no mood for that, and she didn't want to hear Joy Behar comparing President Bush to President Trump. And here's a moment of it, and boy, did things get off the rails. Listen to this.
Him. I want to say one thing about him that was not picked up, really, because as a candidate, he said, those who think we're powerless to do anything about the greenhouse effect are forgetting about the White House effect. And then he signed into law the Clean Air Act Amendment of 1990, one of the most sweeping environmental statutes ever.
Yeah.
This president that we have now is trying to unravel everything that he did and Obama did. And if I ever become a one-issue voter, it will be about pollution and the greenhouse effect and
can
the
we
fact
focus
that,
on the president, please? I don't want to talk about Trump.
We're in the moment so excuse,
of we're honoring a great president.
Excuse me a second,
path.
Please. I want to talk about
but
the
we're
different...
in honoring, but I'm not interested in your one issue.
I don't
voter,
care what you're interested in. I'm talking.
Well, I don't care
you
what you're
what?
Interested
Damn
in.
We'll
either,
be right back.
Boy. Okay.
Why will be right back? Leave it go.
All right. So what you're saying right now is what I was thinking yesterday as I'm watching this. I commend Whoopi Goldberg because she was watching it happen. She was just inches away from all this happening, and she realized this is going to get worse way before it gets better, so she threw it to a commercial break, as you heard. But I'm in your camp, is like, oh, no, let's see what happens.
It was getting
what do you got?
Vicious.
Oh, it was getting crazy. And here's what you couldn't see because you're hearing the audio. You're not watching it. So Whoopi says, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. So both Joy and Meghan McCain, who have one person between them, Sonny Hostin, sitting between them, they both become very animated with their arms, and they're like pointing at each other like, you don't tell me. No, 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 you don't tell me. There was a lot of that back and forth, and then cut to commercial. Then they come back, no mention of it whatsoever, which surprised me. Because in other times, when there used to be clashes on The View, they would always address it. They'd come back and they go, look, we lost our heads there for a minute. Sorry about that. We're all friends. That didn't happen yesterday.
So you rewound, didn't you?
Yeah, twice. Watched it two more times.
After you know, I kind of agree with Meghan McCain because, you know, this is like a send-off. You can say what you want about Donald Trump at a later time, but this, it was overshadowing what they were doing.
They're hugely different people and different leaders.
Oh yeah,
and I think it's pretty obvious. And I agree with you, Wendy. I don't like hearing people say, you know, let's give George Herbert Walker one more shot here. Let's give him his time.
Yeah, exactly.
But you have to admit, for several different reasons, it is part of the general conversation. It is, boy, we've had presidents that are much more diplomatic, both locally and nationally and internationally, than our current president is. And even when they came back, like, they talked about other things, but they did bring it back a little bit. And they talked about the comparison of Donald Trump to George Bush. I mean, it wasn't a dead issue, but boy, were things cold in that studio. And they even showed the audience, like, I know you don't watch The View, but whenever they cut to commercial break, they then do a couple of pans of the audience, and you saw the audience, like, ducking and covering. Like, I don't know what's going to happen next, but it's not good.
And this is after the big fight. Kid Rock called Joy Behar a B-word, and then he was scrapped from being the Grand Marshal of the Nashville Parade.
Yeah, that just happened a few days ago.
I didn't realize what he was so upset about her for, but she made fun of Kid Rock going to the White House last year with Ted Nugent and Sarah Palin.
Right, on a couple of occasions.
Which is a group fun. I don't know that I'd want to hang out with.
No.
I just don't know. No. I don't know who I'd get in a bigger fight with. And I like Kid Rock.
Yeah.
I like All Summer Long. I'm sorry. That's my guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
But as a person, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd be, what's with the mullet? Yeah. Please do something. Wash your hair.
Yeah. But now, to defend myself for a second, one of the reasons I love the show is it's so honest and true. So much on TV, those roundtable panel discussions are so safe and easy and clean cut. And on The View, they will scrap it up, as you just heard. Things can get pretty ugly in there. And in previous incarnations of the show, it got even crazier when Rosie O'Donnell was there, when Elizabeth was there, Elizabeth Hasselbeck was there. On a daily basis, they were punching and scratching and fighting.
All right, Elizabeth Hasselbeck shouldn't have been there because she was just on Survivor. That was really her claim to fame.
Some of their choices. Now, I liked her being there because she held up. It's normally a five-person panel, a five-woman panel, and she was the only Republican at the time, and I have to say,
she held her ground.
She held up fairly well. There were a couple times where they broke her, but for the most part, she held up.
She didn't deserve to be on it, though. And who's this other person that you said was in between them?
Sunny Hostin is her name.
Who's that?
She's an attorney.
Where'd she come from?
I don't know.
There was some little puppeteer who won America's Got Talent, and as I was watching The Voice last night, I saw a promo coming up. She is now hosting a special on the network.
And she went for, so how does this happen?
I don't know. She's a puppeteer.
And now she's a host.
She's hosting. She's got her own Christmas special.
With other puppets or with humans?
I don't know, but it just seems like weird way.
Is Darcy Lynn.
Darcy
she
Lynn?
Has her own Christmas special. I
she
mean, like,
is so talented.
Yeah,
yeah, but she shouldn't be hosting a Christmas special.
A crazy. I mean, she's got a ton of little animals she works with. You know, her little puppet friends.
Yeah.
And she sings her own songs.
Oh, all
and
right.
The puppets, are, you know.
That's going to make me want to watch.
You're not happy. Wendy's not happy about this, Mary.
I know. She is very cute, though. But no.
Very cute.
Special,
you shouldn't have your own special.
A network TV
yes,
special?
Yes, I'm
Oh. Wow. Good for her, I guess.
I can't believe it.
She's going to fill a whole show. I mean, she's going to have
a lot of puppet friends.
A bunch of other America Got Talent people on there or something, probably.
Oh, all right.
What's going on with this reality TV? I can't stop watching The Voice either, and I love Kelly Clarkson more than anything in the world, but I want to help her dress.
Yeah, somebody's putting her in little bit peep outfits and stuff. I've seen clips where I just go, they have to have mirrors there, don't they?
She likes it. I mean, she's a little country girl, and she...
You know the outfit I'm talking about, right? 2 weeks ago, she was dressed like a nursery rhyme.
I think I remember
I don't know
that
why,
one.
But she was dressed like Little Bo Peep. I have no idea why.
And Adam Levine, I have really come to like him. I just started watching The Voice last year because I love Kelly Clarkson, and she became a judge, so I started watching it.
Yeah.
God, I love Blake Shelton. He is way too nice for Gwen Stefani. I can't believe they are together. That just upsets me.
You're going to break him up?
I might.
Do what you need to do.
But Adam Levine is, I just have never really been a Maroon 5 fan. I know they're going to be doing the Super Bowl.
But I told you years ago, right? Do you remember this? I said, he's so good. He can
act. Yeah, but I don't think he's that good. I just think he's so nice. Oh. He's a great coach. And he sang on the stage with his team and the team was better than he was. I mean, I don't know. And
he dressed like Little Bo Peep?
No, he wears those jean sweatpants like almost every day.
Yeah. He's very relaxed.
I kind of like that look.
Yeah. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, Bridget Carey from CNET will join us. She'll tell you about the world of technology, and I will be confused. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It is a Tech Tuesday, and that's what we do each and every Tuesday when we talk to CNET senior editor Bridget Carey. Bill, I know you're not a pet lover, but Bridget, you lived with a robot dog, and we want to know how it went.
Oh, it was a very interesting experiment because Sony is selling this robot dog that is almost $3,000. It's packed with AI. It's got all sorts of sensors in it. It's actually doing some stuff that isn't really legal where you are because of all the facial recognition that's going on in there. They even have like a little asterisk. It's like cannot be sold in Illinois. But
all of a sudden Illinois is standing up for something and doing
and
something
right. And it's robot dogs, Wendy, as we predicted.
We have
facial recognition laws are strict in your neck of the woods.
Do you remember there was an app recently, I think it was Google, where you could take a picture of you and they would put you in a famous piece of art.
Oh, right. I do remember
you
that.
You couldn't do it in this state because of the law.
Oh.
Interesting.
So are there black market electronic dogs in Illinois then, Bridget? How are we getting them?
I think you do have to find the black market for robots. But I'll tell you this. It was the whole thing was I got to spend 1 week with this in my house with my two-year-old daughter, kind of see what it's like. Because when you're like just hearing about it, okay, it looks cute. There's a lot of animation.
It does look cute. Bill is rolling his eyes. Why?
I wouldn't want one of those.
You wouldn't want a real dog.
No.
Well, then again, that's the thing, right? Like, I think a real dog, everyone kind of goes, wait a second, why would you pay $3,000 for a machine when you can get a real dog that might actually love you back? But this is a really interesting experiment in what you can do now with robotics and artificial intelligence, because this little puppy, his name is Ibo. It is able to identify you versus other people in your house, get to know what you like based on your reactions because you can pet it in certain places. It reacts to, like, praise, you know, like good boy and whatnot, and all sorts of, like, if you're smiling, it'll detect a smile and know, ooh, that made you happy. Let me do that more often. So my daughter, being two and full of wonder, like, just fell in love with the thing. And it would do a little song. It has about 20 or so tricks it can do. It would do a little song, and every time she went crazy, it kept doing the song more to her. But with me, it knew I was a sucker for shaking hands, so it would put its paw up more often with me. And sometimes I just ignore it, because after a while, you're like, okay, I just want to watch Netflix. Please go away now. it would try to do things to get my attention, like play with a toy bone. It had randomly lift its hind leg to pee on my furniture.
That's fun.
Nothing actually came out. You know,
instead of a real dog.
But that said, then I started realizing after talking with Sony, this is something they actually found. It launched first in Japan, and they said a lot of their customers over there were buying it for elderly parents, companionship for when you're alone in the house. And I took it to a senior center here to kind of get some feedback. And for some folks, you know, who needed something to lift them up, it was a hoot. Other folks are like, wait a second, I don't need to talk to a machine. That's okay. So it depends on the person, like everything, right? I even talked to people who own dogs, brought it over to their houses. The two dogs I ran into basically were like sniffing the butt, not impressed because it wasn't real.
Smells like
times,
plastic.
Ignored it. Yeah. like what is going on? Because it's very animated, and that's the thing. I mean, if you want to check it out, I do a whole special about it on CNET. But it's very, very animated with little eyes, and it does little stretches and just walks around your house, and it learns your house over time. So this is coming out in December. And this is just the beginning of little robot companions. I think this is something that is going to be a growing area. You know, everyone's going to want a robot in their home.
You know, you mentioned the elderly and people maybe who don't have companionship. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at it in a whole different light. I know there were some people you mentioned that didn't want anything to do with it. But imagine, like, just having something to do and pretend to communicate with, and you don't have to go out and walk it. You don't have to go out and buy food. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, even people who were kind of skeptical, I saw them kind of crack smiles and want to play with it more and more because it's voice activated. And it has like over 50 different things you can say to get a reaction out of it. And when it sees you smile, it'll react more, that kind of thing. And it grows over time. So this personality evolves and it'll know what one person likes and another. So I find that, I find it intriguing what we can do now. Yeah, sure, it's not useful. It's not actually doing anything like playing music or anything useful, but entertainment in itself is fascinating, and not a lot of tech companies are exploring this space.
All right, available now, but not in Illinois, right?
Yeah, well, you can pre-order it now, and it starts to ship later this month.
All right,
speaking of robots, and why do people say robots? And please don't say
that. I've heard people say that, yeah.
There are now robot janitors that you will be able to find roaming around Walmart. Explain this.
Yeah, the most popular robots have been the corporate kind, like at airports and whatnot. And Walmart just announced they're adding across the nation, like there's 360 stores that are getting these janitor robots, and they look like small Zambonis, just kind of like rolling around the aisles, cleaning the floors.
Like a Roomba, kind of like that?
But it's massive, almost like a riding lawnmower, you know, where there's a big seat in there, and they have like a little yellow caution tape that says, you know, we're cleaning, don't ride me. But how many people are going to be like at midnight at a Walmart going to be trying to jump on this thing and ride it? So, yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of viral video of people messing with it, but nevertheless, they're rolling this out to say, hey, people can now focus on other tasks. Then again, you know, it's only the beginning of the robots taking everyone's
yep.
jobs, right? You
yep.
know, so, I mean, I don't mind cleaning floors, but then, you know, they're already doing robot stuff in the stocking section. I mean, Amazon hires tons of robots, uses tons of robots in their warehouses to kind of pull items off shelves. And that's something Walmart's also been experimenting with a little bit on the backside. But this is the first, like, non-experiment. This is like adding over 300 of these things around the nation.
They're not going to replace the elderly greeters at the front of Walmart, are they? The Codgerbot 3000?
The Codgerbot 3000.
They have those things at airports, and they always are glitchy. And who is saying hello to those things? I don't
right.
think I've seen them. You know, it's ridiculous. So yeah. you still need a human touch.
All right.
What if it goes awry? I mean, if they're doing it overnight, although Walmarts are still pretty crowded late at night.
Mm-hmm.
But what if it, you know, veers off course and knocks down a display or something? How do they even figure this out?
They said this thing has all these sensors to tell when people are near and objects, but you and I know that when it comes to people, we will find a way to make it.
Well, it's probably it's a similar technology to the car that backs itself into a parking space. It's probably the same technology, right? Or similar.
Well, everything when it comes to the sensors, yeah, and it's also already have a preset map of the store. So, like, there's a person plugging in, going, "Okay, you're gonna go down aisle 3, 5, and 7," you know, and then when it detects something amiss, like, it might get to the point where it goes, "Oh, there's no more coffee, or something's empty on the shelf, or there's a mess." It could alert someone to come over. But
alert.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's just going to catch me playing with all the kid toys or whatever in the bicycles.
And it's going to take pictures of you and send it to corporate. That's what it's going to do. I don't know. I'm scared about all these robots. Am I the only one?
They don't always go off so well. There were some security robots roaming parking lots in California, and that was a disaster where people were kicking it over and protesting about it.
Oh,
it
no.
looked like they look kind of like those robots from Doctor Who,
right.
you know, like the
Daleks.
Really scary ones.
Yeah.
So, you know, between the dogs and this, you know, this is the beginning of the robot
revolution.
Don't be
scared,
so.
Wendy. You saw RoboCop. That went well.
No, it didn't. Oh. Where can we see this video of you in Ibo?
It's over at CNET.com. You could just search for Ibo is my week with a robot dog.
Bridget, thanks so much. As always, say hello to your mother for me. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Bridget.
Bridget Carey from CNET, everybody.
You can find her at CNET.com.
I scared her.
I know. She's on Twitter, at Bridget Carey, and Instagram, Bridget Happens.
Yeah.
Why do you do that?
I don't know. Everything was going well, and then I frightened her. All right, we'll take a little break, and then Patrick McDonald, who we just found out is also a robot, will be joining us.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and we're joined by our friend Patrick McDonald, film critic for HollywoodChicago.com, and you're dressed like a crazy elf.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. Thematic.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, sir.
It's always fun to see you, but at holiday time especially, because
yes.
We get to talk about Christmas movies.
Yes,
would you be
do.
Upset if we mentioned some Christmas movies?
Not at all.
No?
Not at all.
They really are. It's one of those things where there's certain movies you can see, Christmas or holiday-related movies, where even if you see them 100 times, it doesn't matter.
Right.
They're just out and out great.
Right. And you also get that community feeling. I think that's one of the great things about certain Christmas movies is that it brings everybody together for a common, you know, watch party, which we don't do that much anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, it gives you the warm fuzzies, if you will.
You know what just occurred? Oh, go on, Wendy.
I was just going to say I have two favorites, but go ahead. We'll talk about our favorites.
Let me say this quick. It just finally occurred to me, and I don't know why this didn't occur to me years and years ago, but two of my favorite, not just my favorite, but I think the most timeless holiday movies are It's a Wonderful Life and A Christmas Carol. And when you stop and look at it, it really is the same kind of plot twist. It's all based on what if somebody hadn't existed or would have existed differently.
And redemption.
Yeah.
I think redemption is a very popular theme at Christmas.
Why is that?
Because we all should be better. We really should.
Right. Yeah.
Well, we always use the holiday times to reflect on, you know, the year and how, you know, we can improve ourselves. And a lot of times that has to do with redeeming our qualities, if you will.
Yeah.
So, and movies love that theme. So
now you mentioned the classics,
yeah.
And I love those. It's a Wonderful Life
is
a great movie. I like to watch it every year.
Yeah.
But if I skip a year, I won't be as upset. If I skip a year to see Elf, I will not have a good Christmas.
So good.
I mean, it is the funniest movie ever, and Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
Yes.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Those two, I have to see.
Yeah.
I have to see White Christmas. Every year.
Do you?
Yes, I have to.
Yeah. I don't know that I've ever seen that in its entirety.
Oh, it's really good.
You should go to the Music Box one year. That's what I do. I bring
that would
a group
be beautiful.
To the music Box every year to watch it, and they do a spectacular show.
Yeah.
They've got, you know, clowns and jugglers and Santa and Dennis Scott on the organ.
Oh, that's perfect.
Sing-along on the screen.
That would be cool.
That's a lot of fun.
You're going to be paying for my admission this year, Music Box, for that plug.
With Elf, can you think of anybody else that could have played the role of Buddy the Elf?
Absolutely
other than
not.
It's impossible, right?
It's impossible.
Yeah.
I even think Bob Newhart's perfect.
He's so good in it. Everybody
James
is. James Caan.
I mean,
Jimmy
really?
Khan.
Sonny Corleone in
Jimmy
Elf.
Khan.
So
I love you.
Good.
I love you. I love you.
Yeah. All right, so explain this. With Christmas carols, it's very hard with songs to come up with new ones that are great. The old ones are the great ones, but with Christmas movies, you get a nice mix of old and new, don't you?
Yes, exactly, and you can come up with something good that will endure. I will give a perfect example, Love Actually.
Oh, so good.
You know,
great.
So I mean,
good.
It's from 2003, but I would consider
it's
that
a new movie.
Relatively new, exactly.
So you have seven different storylines, each one of them really good. There's not a clinker in the bunch.
No.
All seven storylines are great.
No, from the stand-ins to the movie to the, you know.
And a cast that was kind of famous, like when they made Love Actually, a third of the cast was famous. And then as years have gone on, they've all become famous.
Right. And a couple of, at the time, unknowns. Like Keira Knightley was an unknown at the time.
Andrew Lincoln.
Yes, Andrew Lincoln. And also Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, well done.
So, yeah, he, of course.
That's Keira Knightley's husband in the movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's
one I watch every year.
Yeah, so yeah. Good.
I forgot about that. I have to add that to my yearly repertoire.
So every year I do a YouTube program. It's called Pat and Ken at the Holidays with my friend Ken Candela. We mm-hmm. get together every year and we pick four kind of new things to put on your holiday list. And with YouTube and the Amazon Stick, I mean, they're all available right now. So it's all great.
These are all theatrical releases?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we put them in categories. We do classic, we do a TV show, we do a version of the Christmas Carol, and we do a surreal one.
Nice.
So,
all right, can we go through them?
Yes.
Is that all right?
Yeah. If you don't mind.
Where do you want to start, Patrick?
Let's start with a classic, because right. we were talking about, you know, you can skip this and you skip that this year. But if you want to bring in something new, and this is a Turner Classic Movies favorite every year, it's called Holiday Affair. Have you heard of this?
Is it Danny Kaye?
No, it's Bob Mitchum. Robert Mitchum.
Oh.
And there's a great story behind this, because Robert Mitchum was busted for marijuana back in the late
40s.
What
a bad man. He's a bad man, Patrick.
And the studio thought, if they put him in a Christmas movie, they'll rehabilitate him. So this
sure.
is a rehabilitation movie. The woman he's wooing is Janet Leigh.
Oh.
A young Janet Leigh.
Yeah.
I mean, incredible. She plays a war widow.
Yeah.
She's lost her husband in the war.
I've seen this. She has a kid, right?
Yes, exactly.
I've seen this movie.
And she's been dating this lawyer for 2 years.
Yeah.
He wants to get married. She doesn't feel it.
Yeah.
And then Bob Mitchum comes along to steal her away.
Oh, reeking of marijuana.
Right? Who wouldn't go with that guy?
That's not
what is this called?
That's not an
egg-nog
sense.
Holiday Affair.
Yeah.
And it's kind
on
of
Turner
adult.
Movie Classics
yeah.
a couple times between now,
easily,
right?
They'll
throw it on a bit.
Just look at the schedule. It'll be on 3 or 4
yeah.
times from now till Christmas.
You know what I remember
Christmas
about it is Robert Mitchum was one of your great movie tough guys. And even in this,
yeah.
he's kind of, for a Christmas movie, he's kind of a tough guy, isn't
he's
he?
He's very aggressive in
yeah,
this movie.
I remember that.
And also, too, he works in the toy department. And Ken in the video said he should have worked in the rifle department. He's the manly man.
Yeah, he's upset. All right, so that's your pick for the classic.
Right.
All right.
So let's go to a version of A Christmas Carol.
All right.
This is a good one. This was produced by VH1 back in 2000. It's called A Diva's Christmas Carol. That's right.
Who's involved in this?
Vanessa Williams plays a diva.
Oh.
Who is so, you know, off camera, she is so bad to her assistants, one of them being Bob Cratchit. They didn't change the names much. Her name was Ebony Scrooge.
Oh,
I don't think
Ebony
that name
Scrooge.
Would.
That,
I like it.
That name would not play, I think.
I don't know if it would.
But anyway, it's the Christmas Carol story, and she's visited by three ghosts, one played by Kathy Griffith. She plays
really?
A Ghost of Christmas Past. And the Ghost of Christmas Present is John Taylor from Duran Duran.
Oh, my God, I have to see this.
It's great. It's on YouTube. You can download it. You can download the whole movie on your Amazon or whatever.
It's interesting when they take a story and they play like a sexual role reversal.
Yes.
I remember there was a made-for-TV version of It's a Wonderful Life
yes.
that starred, do you remember?
Marlo Thomas.
And her husband was Wayne Rogers, I believe,
exactly.
in that movie.
Yeah. And Mr. Potter was Orson Welles, who wouldn't take his cigar out of his
right.
mouth the entire time.
Right. Very so, awkward.
Very awkward.
Yeah.
Very
All right.
Awkward.
Let's take a break, and then we'll hear more of these. Patrick McDonald is here. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. We'll get that done. Patrick McDonald is here, film critic, one of our favorite film critics for HollywoodChicago.com. Patrick does something very nice every year. He's doing it again this year. Explain, Patrick.
Pat and Ken at the Holidays on YouTube. We take on some holiday films every single year since 2009.
Yep.
So I'm organizing it right now. I'm going to put everything in alphabetical order by the weekend.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Four categories. Classics. You mentioned that one already.
We mentioned a version of A Christmas Carol.
Yeah. And what's next?
Let's go to TV.
All right.
You'll like this one.
Are these TV episodes or specials or what?
This is going to be an episode within a show.
Okay.
So it was a variety show from the 60s, the Dean Martin show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
His 1967 Christmas special paired his kids with the Sinatra kids.
Of course. Why wouldn't you?
What a good-looking bunch.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a Smithsonian Institute type show. It's so amazing.
So you have his son, probably Dino, who we've lost,
yes.
sadly.
Yes.
His daughter, Dina. Yeah. Was probably there.
Well, you know, interesting.
What, was he the original George Foreman? Dina? Yes. Dino?
He named all of his kids after himself.
Deanie was the dog.
It was Dean, Dina, Gina, yeah. Ricky. You know,
and with the Sinatras, you had Nancy. Frank Jr.
And Tina.
And Tina Sinatra,
yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, this is a real relic. It's not a really good show, but you can't help but watch it because it's just
star power.
The Rat Pack, and they have a Rat Pack cameo in it.
Oh,
I won't give it
don't
away.
Don't tell us who.
I won't give it away.
I'm hoping it's Peter Lawford. I'm hoping.
Sammy Davis Jr., I bet.
Could be.
Bing, 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 bing.
Very oh, it's good. Bing.
Representing no. The Jewish Hanukkah,
yeah.
Perhaps.
That's right.
Absolutely. Okay, and your fourth and final category.
Yes, fourth is surreal, and this falls under the category of those old kids' matinees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would put these cheap movies together. They'd take the Mexican Santa Claus
and throw it
in theaters, et cetera, et cetera.
For some reason, Rizzano Brazzi's in a lot of those. I don't know why, but he is. Do you know who that is?
No. Wendy?
He's an Italian actor, a really good actor, but toward the end of his career, he was just like,
he was just taking any role.
Anything.
And they would dub over his voice.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the movie, though.
Year Without a Santa Claus.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Very good. This is from 1972.
What is it?
Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny.
Oh, I don't know this. What is this one?
Man.
That sounds great.
Santa Claus is stuck in Florida. His sleigh is on the beach.
Yeah.
And the only person that can rescue him and send him back to the North Pole is the ice cream bunny. The Santa Claus suit in this is the cheapest I've ever seen. And it there's no script. You can tell there's no script. He's just making up lines as he goes on. He keeps going back to the fact that he's hot.
Oh, well.
And as was said in our video, why doesn't he go under the sleigh? There's shade there. But this is just...
Are there any names that we would recognize involved in this?
One,
nobody.
One name.
And where did this show originally?
This showed in the theaters in the early 70s during Christmas.
Yeah.
What this filmmaker did, I think his name is Barry Mann.
Yeah.
He took a film he made earlier, Thumbelina,
oh.
And he inserted it within a bookend of the Santa Claus story.
Yeah.
So he got two at once out there. And
move.
He got to promote his amusement park, which was Pirate's Cove.
In Florida?
Florida.
Yeah.
With rides that would be unsafe by any standard.
I was at that park as a child.
You were?
Yeah.
That's great.
Lucky.
That's great. Yeah.
Did you ride the horses? They had like
roller
coaster.
I did.
That was
like a racehorse.
Racehorses.
Yeah. Yeah, there were no safety standards back
there
then.
There was none whatsoever.
Right. Most of the kids came back. That's
and
a success.
And they have a camera on the horse, as you can see it, as Thumbelina's riding it.
Cool. That's excellent.
It's so badly costumed.
So I don't know if you guys did this, but we would go to these Saturday matinees frequently. My mom would take my brother and I, and the movies were almost always horrible, but the experience was fantastic for some reason.
Because there was no supervision. You know, kids would be running all over the place, and you'd have popcorn and candy and throwing it. And
I never went to any of these.
It was great.
Man.
They were poorly made movies, oftentimes foreign films that were lip-synced into English, and it was just horrible. But I couldn't wait until it was Saturday again to see another one.
Christmas time was right for them.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about the year without.
And it's so bad. And, you know, when my daughters were born, I went on a search for that particular movie to show them, and I hadn't seen it since I was a kid. And we all watched it, and my daughters were 3 or 4, and they looked at me, and they went, why would you make us watch this? And I go, I thought it was better.
This is
nostalgia.
What Dad did.
Yeah.
This is the movies we had.
I ruined Christmas.
They ruined Christmas.
Horrible.
All right, where do we find this whole list? Because I did not write down all these things, all right, and I have to look at them.
YouTube, you'll find The Dean Martin Show and The Divas Christmas Carol. Holiday Affair is not available on YouTube, but it's on Turner Classics till the end of the month. Sand the Ice Cream Bunny, available on YouTube.
You can get it on YouTube?
Yep.
Yeah.
It may be in parts, but
it's better that way. You don't want to watch it straight through.
Believe me, you won't get through it.
And Patrick, there was something else you wanted to talk about really quick.
I have two bands that I'm in, believe it or not. The Telepaths and two singing film critics, the Darkroom Men. That's Nick Allen of RogerEbert.com and I. And we're going to be performing at The Store on Halsted and Armitage on Saturday, a Toys for Tots benefit in Mission, an unwrapped toy. It starts at 7:30. We'll be on around 10.
This upcoming Saturday.
December 8th, 2018. 2000.
Very good.
And do you have a website or something where people can find out all this information?
Yes, go on Facebook and type in Toys for Rock for Tots, because that's the name of the benefit. Rock for Tots at the store. Pat and Ken at the holidays. Type that into YouTube. And you'll get all the reviews that I just talked about.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas, Patrick.
You, brother.
All right.
Aww.
Wasn't that nice?
Yeah, you guys are
you tearing
cute.
Up? We're tearing
yes.
up. All right. Thanks, Patrick. We'll take a quick break, get you some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Is this Santa Baby?
I'm not sure.
It is.
It is?
Baby.
Yeah. I'm going to do this song one of these years and record it as Eartha Kitt.
How comes nobody seems to be upset about the lyrics to this song, which are also very upsetting. You stop and listen to what's going on.
But she's hitting on Santa. Because Santa's helper might be the guy she's involved with.
But much like Baby It's Cold Outside, you could listen to these lyrics and go, this is untawdry or tawdry. Which one would it be?
Tawdry
or untawdry? I'm not sure which, but it's
tawdry.
Upsetting. Yeah, it's that tawdry. That's what it is. Think of all the fun. Jess, stop playing this. It's very upsetting.
I'm listening to
very
it.
Very upsetting.
But she's just, what's wrong with a woman hitting on a man? Whose version is this?
Ariana Grande.
Wouldn't it be funny if Pete Robinson came down her chimney just dressed as himself?
No. Pete Davidson.
What did I say?
Pete Robinson. That would be funny.
Pete Davidson texted something yesterday on his Instagram.
I saw that.
It was very long.
He's getting bullied.
He is getting bullied, and he...
He wants it to stop. He doesn't want people bullying him
anymore. He said he's come forward with his bipolar, and why is everybody always hating on him? I commented, I said, you know, can't sweep this crap under the rug anymore.
You put that on his account?
Well,
on
his
Twitter account?
No, his Instagram.
Oh,
I commented, and I just said, you're a hero to young people today because
nice
we need to talk about this. It can't be swept under the rug anymore.
Right.
Why would he get bullied? What? For seeing her, for not seeing her? What's the deal? Why doesn't everybody
I could see where fans
stay out
of hers,
of
and I'm not doing this, but I could see where fans of hers would say, Pete is making her life difficult. I'm going to take a shot at him online. I wouldn't do that. People would.
I just don't understand. It takes more effort to put these terrible, mean things online than it does to say nothing.
But don't you think if you're him and you say something, please stop bullying me online, I don't want you to do this, don't you think that invites more people to do it? They're like, wow, we're getting at them. Now we can really get at them. Yeah.
Well, I posted, you know, you're a hero to young people and can't sweep this under the rug anymore, so I'm glad you're talking about it.
Well said. Did the bullying stop right away? I bet it did. Hey, Wendy's on his team. Let's leave him alone. I bet it did.
I just, when someone comes out and admits they have some issues.
Yeah, I know.
I think it's off limits then.
Right, don't hit a guy when he's down.
I agree with you.
Hit a guy when he's standing up. Knock him down. That's the way to do it. You wanted to talk about the U.S. Postal Service.
I just saw this information. You had Jasmine print this up, and I've don't know if I've heard of this happening before. The United States Postal Service will suspend service tomorrow, Wednesday, December 5th, as part of the National Day of Mourning for former President George Herbert Walker
Isn't that
Bush.
Something? Yeah, I don't remember if
Ever.
This has happened in the past. I don't remember it. And is there some tie-in, some reason that the Postal Service is observing him? They haven't done this with other presidents' passings away.
Well, if you go to the USPS website, here's what their post says. President Donald J. Trump has proclaimed Wednesday, December 5th, 2018, as a national day of mourning in remembrance of former President George H.W. Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Out of respect for the 41st President of the United States and to honor his vast contributions to our country during his lifetime, and consistent with the presidential proclamation, the United States Postal Service will suspend regular mail deliveries, retail services, and administrative office activity on December 5th. Steve Bertrand has joined us. Is this something that's ever happened before?
Well, you know, we don't think of it, but presidents don't die very often.
No, I mean, of course
you know,
not.
Ronald Reagan was the last one, and before that would have been Richard Nixon. So I was a little surprised, too. The markets are closed tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it's a national day of mourning for a fallen president.
There was a time, especially during the holidays, where turning the mail service away for a day would have caused an uproar. People would have been panicked going,
especially
wait, you can't
during
do this.
The holiday season.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well.
But not this time around.
Well, I mean, I just think it's part of what happens.
Yeah.
But I was thinking of it too, Wendy, but it's just that, you know, we talked yesterday about Richard Nixon and the presidents who died when it doesn't happen often.
Yeah, right.
We kind of forget what happens on it.
So the rules are reformulated a little bit.
I mean, I think, you know, they could probably adjust them if they wanted to, but yeah. This was probably tradition.
Yeah.
So it's not like Donald Trump said, hey, let's start something new, because that's what it appears on the United States Post Office. You know, President Donald J. Trump proclaimed the federal government will also be closed tomorrow. Also, the New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ, they said they'll close trading Wednesday in observance of National Day of Mourning for Bush.
President Trump did declare it a National Day of Mourning, and then that's what, you know, causes all of this.
Has that happened before?
The
markets have closed because of the passing away of somebody?
Again, I was surprised, but I bet that it is exactly what happens.
Yeah.
And it just, I have to look up when Ronald Reagan passed.
President Ford was.
Oh, President Ford, yeah.
Yeah, because someone said the post office did close for President Ford's passing.
Poor Jerry was always overlooked.
Because you said Nixon was the last one, but yes.
Yeah. Right.
I guess that's true that since I've been alive, there haven't been that many presidents that have passed away. I don't know why I think there are so many.
Right. There are state funerals. There are.
Right.
There's just for John McCain, there's a big funeral, a very public funeral. But
for Barbara Bush, there was
Barbara,
a big.
Exactly. But when it comes to sitting or former presidents, I should say, it's a very rare event.
Sure.
All right. Well, no mail tomorrow. I stopped sending Christmas cards probably when Facebook started.
Do you know?
So when was that?
We were so close to doing it this year. I kind of shamed my wife into Sharon. We're still sending them.
Because now you used to send it with your kids as they were getting older.
Sure.
And now with Facebook, and now that they're in their teens, they're not as cute as they were as little kids.
That's nice. That's a nice thought.
But no, and I'm serious. With Facebook, you know, people see it out there on social media, so I don't feel the need. You know, you can keep up with what your little cousins and nephews and nieces look like.
But there are friends, but I guess if you do it on social media, it's one thing. But there are people from whom we only hear at a Christmas card.
Yeah.
Like I have friends who moved to California, and that's just kind of.
And now that's in jeopardy because,
if you stop it,
I was in Macy's the other day, and it used to be if you went to almost any Macy's store, not just the flagship downtown, but any of the other ones, the orbiting stores, their Christmas department was huge, and there was lines and lines and lines of holiday cards.
Yep.
And now the Macy's by me in Old Orchard has the smallest section of Christmas cards you could ever imagine.
Well, I would imagine that's something that is very easily purchased online.
And printed yourself.
And
a
printed
lot of people
yourself.
Do that.
Oh, I guess so.
Or the picture ones, you know, you do them at Walgreens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that. Do you ever do an update letter to send out to people? I know Kathy and Judy used to read them all the time.
The Merry Medical Christmas.
Oh, my God. Yeah. They're just so,
so funny.
We still get a few from certain people.
Where they don't leave out a single
detail.
And
they're not trying to be funny.
No, I know.
But they are funny.
But there are. I have friends who send my one friend, Bridget Berry, in Arizona, sends one. And she tries to be funny. And it is I love it every year. It's the funniest
You look forward
letter.
To it.
But so part of that, you know. Roxy died this year.
Yeah.
So how do you... So we were putting a little picture on of Roxy, but then trying to figure out, I don't want it to be...
Your dog.
Yeah.
For those people who might not have known that.
So you just want it to be kind of out there, but not, oh, woe is us or anything like that. So
I like when people, within the context of their holiday letter, mention a very special thank you to Ginger and Neil, and then there's no other explanation at all.
Oh, really?
And you go, how about that Ginger and Neil? Did they ever come through? But I don't know who they are. But I applaud them, but I don't know why.
That would be fun to just send out a cryptic message.
Mention
like
a bunch
that.
Of people.
Oh, that time back on that Sunday in July. Wow.
My friend Todd.
Or send it to the wrong name.
Oh,
someone famous.
Do that.
Senator Durbin had a great time running into you last week.
That's funny, too.
My friend Todd, every year, he and his girlfriend would come by and take a holiday picture with himself, his girlfriend, and my two daughters in the picture, and then send that out. And he said they would never explain who they were. It was just a family picture around the tree. And so many relatives would go, I don't know how to say this, but I don't know who those two girls are.
What about Jimmy Carter, by the way?
He's still alive.
He's still alive.
Okay. Well, that is 815.
I didn't mean to disappoint you.
No, 815.
No, he's
thanks, 815.
He's around. So to close the Postal Service for Jimmy Carter would be ridiculous.
Although, let's do it while he's alive so you can appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. That sounds good. Thanks, Steve. We'll take a break, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Don't you want to give something to someone in the spirit of Christmas?
I want nothing more than that. Shall we?
Well, you're the steak man around here.
Yeah.
The stakes are high.
The stakes are high, Wendy. There's no question about it.
Bill has been telling you about the Omaha Steaks Family Gift Package, and when you use the special code Bill in the search bar at omahasteaks.com, you get this fabulous package for only $49.99.
You can't believe how much is involved, how much they give you at such a low price, and it's all delicious. Everything you get in there is really, really tasty. I can't imagine not loving this.
Thank you for sending me one this year.
Yeah, you got one.
You did not share last year at all. You refused.
You complained to management.
I did.
And
so they actually sent it.
So yeah, they sent it.
But you're right. When I opened the box, it was like just unpacking and unpacking, and it's like, wait, there's more.
Yeah.
The box was screaming, wait, there's more.
I know. It's limitless.
It is. So Omaha Steaks Family Gift Package. What a lovely gift to share with someone or to win from us right now and keep for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say do. You can get this great package for only $49.99. You enter the special code BILL, B-I-L-L, in the search bar when you go to omahasteaks.com. Or let's just do it right now. You pick a number.
The number would be 11.
It goes to 11, 312-981-7200. Caller 11, Jasmine, will walk away with our Omaha Steaks Family Gift Package. Very nice of you to share this year.
Yeah.
Your heart grew since last year.
Yeah, it did. It beats less often, but it's larger than it used to be. So I want somebody to benefit. Be caller 11 right now, 312-981-7200, so you can feel and taste how delicious this is.
All right. I may be in trouble with the post office because I shoved something into the mail slot this morning.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Something like what?
Well, it was, I belong to the Stitch Fix, which they send you 5 items of clothing and you can determine whether or not you want to keep any.
Yeah.
If you don't like them, which I didn't on this fix, I sent them all back. So they include an envelope. You know, a smushy envelope, and you stuff the clothes back in there, fold them nicely.
Right.
And the mail slot for the priority mail was a little small, and I was wrestling with it this morning, and I finally got it in there, but no one else can put priority mail in that box.
Well done. Very nice.
Well, I didn't know what to do. I got it in there.
Maybe this is the other reason that the mail service is closing tomorrow.
I just,
it's a combination of reasons.
I was going to turn myself in and call the post office and just say I may have blocked up, but they were about ready to collect it for pickup.
Yeah, right.
So hopefully, you know, it didn't get stuck in there, but I didn't know what else I was supposed to do.
I didn't have
time to run in the post office.
No, I get it.
And it, you know, it's soft-sided, so I wrestled with it for a while. If there was a camera in front of the post office,
they
perhaps
saw that.
Yeah, but I wasn't defacing anything.
No, I get
was
it.
Just right. Trying to, the slot got smaller overnight.
It's happened. What can you do, right? I think you did the right thing. You probably won't do a hard time. You'll maybe send you to jail for a couple of days, and that's it.
Can just we talk to caller 11?
Yes. Who is this, caller 11?
Hi.
Hi, who is this? Who are we speaking with?
This is Kathy from Iowa.
Kathy, you are caller 11.
Awesome.
Do they have steaks in Iowa?
Oh, Jesus.
They might.
It is omahasteaks.com. You don't have to live in Omaha to order these.
Anywhere in the world.
This is an amazing Omaha Steaks family gift package, courtesy of Bill Leff, and you can share it with people you love for the holiday.
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either, Kathy. Nope. I would just, when this package arrives, there are so many great, wonderful things in here, I would just keep them all for myself.
All right. Sounds good.
Congratulations, Kathy, to you and everyone in Iowa.
All right, hang on. Get her info. She's driving, so she seems to be distracted.
Yeah.
She's a distracted driver who just got some steaks. If you didn't win, you can keep listening because I believe we have another gift package to give away, courtesy of Omaha Steaks. But you can also just go for the gusto and order for yourself because it's only $49.99. You enter the special code BILL in the search bar at omahasteaks.com. And tomorrow we will tell you what's in the package because I don't have that information. This is your package.
I just know there's something au gratin involved. That's all I
potatoes
can say.
Potatoes au gratin, apple tartlets.
Caramel apple tartlets, meatballs, burgers.
Steaks.
Felt. Maybe not felt.
The chickens.
Chicken fried steaks.
Which my husband loves.
Are in there. Yeah, they're good.
He loves them.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a big package thanks to Omaha Steaks.
Yeah, it's good stuff. You and I are headed toward the stream in just a little bit, and when we get to the stream, this is a little tease for one of the things we will be discussing. I didn't realize that in certain places here in the United States, a snowball fight is illegal. Did you know that?
No.
There are certain places, I'll tell you one specifically, a town in Colorado, where the stakes were high in this particular case,
and
a snowball
else.
Fight.
Because it's legal.
Because it's in Colorado.
Legal weed.
It's legal. I get it. But a young boy changed all that. It's a heartwarming Christmas miracle is what it is, Wendy.
I can't wait.
You're gonna weep. You're going to cry when you hear this story. All right, stick around. We'll close things off. We'll send it over to Steve, and that's coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And coming up, Bill, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.